Would you give me a 5-minute reminder, Joanna, when we're near the end? Okay, I'll read it then. So this scripture is Romans 12, verse 4 and 5. Paul wrote this letter to the church at Rome to give an understanding of what it is to be church and family. And this is the verse. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We need to be committed to a specific group of people called the church. We who are God's people. Because you and I are born again. We're born of God. You can come to church and be in the family, but you need to be born again and have him give your life to Jesus. And then you make a commitment to God's family, and this is at the heart of Christianity, that you and I make a commitment. Some people think it's not necessary to come to church, but it's all part of being a Christian and a believer. And you know what? There are many benefits to us working together. Did you know that church connects you and me with God? Oh, you got the verse. He's our Father, and our hearts together looking and seeking God. It's amazing. And then we had community worship, and together that worship of Jesus Christ takes us to the throne room of God. Isn't that amazing? And together we're saying God is amazing. And then together we learn the Bible, and we also prepare in Bible study, and that is our foundation. The Bible is the foundation of the Christian faith. The church teaches us the message of forgiveness and how we learn to forgive and operate in forgiveness. And if we live this in our lives, it's very powerful. That's what it says in Ephesians 4:32. Because forgiveness is the message of the cross. We need to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So to apply forgiveness, we need a relationship with each other. We need to work at forgiving each other when we hurt each other and when we sin. And we learn that the family of God is best when it's at peace. Unforgiveness is bondage. Forgiveness is freedom, so together we learn personal freedom. To know how blessed we are by God, he has given us so much. And here, together, we learn to give back. Church provides plenty of opportunities to give back. God has given us everything. God, together, we can reflect on the goodness of God. And we did that in our songs this morning. We reflect on the goodness of God. So we have many reasons to commit to the family here. And what do you think church that says to the world? Well, Jesus said, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Isn't that amazing? That if you and I love each other, it teaches the world love. So we need a set of close and consistent relationships, a single church community. When people call Zoom church, I sometimes wonder when they fell out with their iPad. Did you get my joke? Or you learn to make it right with each other. In church, we learn to rub against each other, and then we make it right in Jesus Christ. But if you're sitting looking at a screen in your front room, you're not very likely to have too many encounters. Zoom doesn't encourage close living. And how can I bear your burden if I don't know your burden? If I can't see the pain in your eyes and in your heart, because I don't see you, how can I help you? And you know, if you fall into sin, how can we help restore each other if we don't know each other? And sometimes we're overtaken, like that young man that Jeff talked about. He fell into sin by going back to drugs. How can we restore each other if we don't know and we're not walking together? We need to understand each other. There's such a diversity of God's people. It's amazing. Now what I'd like you to do, I'd like you all to stand up and look round at who we are together. Thank you, church. Stand up and look around and think, wow, are we not amazing? I'd like everybody to do it. Have a little look around. And if you're sleeping, give the person beside you a nod. Yeah? So, aren't we amazing? Okay, you can sit down again. And we're all from different backgrounds, cultures, and experiences. Who do we have here in this? Who do we have here? Could you turn me down very slightly? I feel like I'm very loud. So who do we have here? Well, I'm from Northern Ireland. Where are you from, Jeff?
New Zealand.
So tell me where you're from. Where are you from, Joanna?
England.
England. Anybody else?
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, come on. South Africa. Where? Who? Anybody else?
Zimbabwe.
Oh, they're being quiet.
Zambia.
And Zambia. Wow. So there's lots of cultures and experiences. Okay. But we have unity in diversity if we work at it. And we have diversity here, but not conformity, which is a different thing altogether. You know, people in the Bible, in the Old Testament particularly, made a covenant with God, an agreement, a promise with God. Maybe we can do the same thing to each other. Noah made a commitment, and he was made a covenant with God, and Abraham, Moses, David, and then there was a new covenant in Christ Jesus. Could I have the scripture 1 Corinthians 12 up, please? And we'll read this together, because this is Paul telling the church who they are. Right. Just as a body, the one, has many parts, but all its parts from one body, so it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, as a foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. But if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in our body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now we are the body of Christ, and each one of us is part of that body. Paul was speaking to a very varied group of people. This is important to Paul because the natural tendency of humanity, human behavior, is to congregate with people we like and to not associate with people who are different or you think a bit difficult. Paul helps to see that the church is different. We're one body with many members, and so it is with Christ. In the process of placing our faith in Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ, we were baptized into one spirit and into one body regardless of our social background. Because I actually have some friends that are friends with the royal family. But it's not relevant, really. Paul is telling us how important being body is. So we are the body of Christ. This is amazing. And we need each other. I can't say I don't need you, Roy, because you're different from me. Because God says, I do need you. We're made up of many parts. Do you know, I think here in particular, I do need you. And believe it or not, you do need me. Do you know, I'd like to publicly thank you for all the love. And I probably say it on behalf of Joanna too, that the love that we have found here is very special. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. So I need to commit to you and you to me. We're the body at the Gate Church. Because I'm not sure with some people their first thought is that they need to be at church. But true fulfillment is found in the commitment of unity to the church and family. I'm going to read, could you put up one Acts, please, guys? The example of early Christian communities, and I think this is a huge challenge to each of us. Is it up? Acts 2. Can you find it, guys? 1 Acts 2, yeah? Starts with they devoted themselves. No? Keep going. Right. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Well, that's what we do. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So sharing, fellowship, and devotion. How do you and I make this huge commitment? How do we do it, church? This has always been a big thing in my heart when I read this. But you know what we need to do first? We need to settle this in your heart. You need to settle in your heart that you are going to do this. Then we could promise to stand by each other, and we can be loyal to each other, speaking well of each other, praying for each other. And you know what? If you're struggling with sin, maybe you need to make yourself accountable to someone. Because that's what we're about, restoring each other as well. Maybe you're not good with money, or you're not good with your time. But make yourself accountable to someone who can help you. And we need to be sacrificial. Can anybody give me an example of what sacrifice might look like among us? What does sacrifice look like to you? Well, I have just one little tiny thing. I think that some Sunday mornings, Joanna and I are very tired and we're struggling. But we have decided we will be here and we will love and we will walk together. And I'm speaking on behalf of Joanna now. Because why? Because we have settled this with God. Church, we can also give our help with finance to the upkeep of the church. Because like your home, the gas, the electric, all the bills need paying. So settle that in your heart as well. And you can give precious time. And I thank you. The number of people that give of their precious time is just amazing. So a promise to stand by God's people, a willingness to sacrifice for the greater good. We need loyalty, accountability, and sacrifice. What do you think stops us from a heart commitment? Maybe you're afraid of being taken advantage of. Or people might expect too much. Or you ask you to do things that you don't feel capable of. Well, I can tell you this morning, this is not my favorite position. Time restraints. You have very little time and you're looking after your family. Or you don't feel in your heart that you actually care that much. But do you know, if you don't really care and you don't love like you ought to, you take that truth to God and he sees your heart and he will help you love people. God can change anything. And you know, perhaps you're sitting here and you've been hurt by a previous church and you're just a little bit wounded and you think, ooh, I don't think I'm going to get in too deep there. Try to trust again. Ask God to place trust in your heart. Because there's some stories in the Old Testament, if you know your Bible, you'll know that in 1 Samuel, David and Jonathan were wonderful friends. But Jonathan's father was trying to kill David, but they made a commitment. Let me read this to you. Jonathan and David made a covenant of friendship and peace that was to last through their descendants forever. Isn't that amazing? They made an agreement and a covenant. And it went right through all the generations. And this is in 1 Samuel 20. If you read through the Bible, you will discover stories about David and the little crippled boy and all sorts of things. There was that covenant ran through everything. You might think, what is a covenant? Well, it's a solemn promise between two people. And we can make a covenant with God ourselves on a personal level. And then there's the book of Ruth. Do you remember that book? You want to read that? That's amazing. Ruth. And she was a Moabite. She came from a heathen people. And yet she helped Naomi. And then her name ended up in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Right through. When we live well, we think we live for today. But what we do and don't do runs through everything. It runs through everything. Our example and what we are in our families runs right through. And you know the wonderful thing? The fruit of commitment is personal transformation. We are changed. The fruit of commitment is a powerful church that aims to send the gospel to the ends of the earth. Thank you. The church will grow and impact the world. So my timing is just perfect. So the challenge is to make a commitment to God's people. You can have very good reasons for not always being here, but your heart needs to be with God's people. So I'm going to pray a closing prayer for commitment. And perhaps you'd like to stand if you would like to commit to each other at this minute. And it doesn't mean you have to run and start doing things. It just means your heart is set on God and that you would like to work and be powerful here in this small community. Because I've been incredibly blessed in this community. Would you like to stand if you would like to refresh your commitment to God and to each other? Lord God, give me a fresh understanding and wisdom to know your will, hear your voice, and follow your ways. I ask that you would keep my feet firm on solid ground, helping me to be consistent and faithful, and help me to love my family, the church. Thank you, God, that our unity makes us powerful in the world. So, Holy Spirit, come and touch us now for service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen.